My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/MPN to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/MPN. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
C-Suite Radio.
Want Instagrammers and YouTubers to mention your brand? Or do you want to influence an audience to buy your product? I'm Jason Falls, author of the book Winfluence, Reframing Influencer Marketing to Ignite Your Brand. In this podcast, we explore the people, companies, campaigns, and stories that illustrate the difference between using influencers and actually influencing. Welcome to Winfluence, the Influence Marketing Podcast. Hello again, friends. Thanks for listening to Winfluence, the Influence Marketing Podcast. People don't solve problems in a vacuum. At least most people don't. Problems are usually solved when two or more people get together and collaborate on ideas. That's the nugget of truth behind the concept of networking. You get together with others to share ideas, but also challenges, tapping into the crowd for resources, solutions, and suggestions. Jesse Grossman knows the power of networking. She comes from the talent agent world, where who you know is probably as important as anything. As she migrated into the actors and actresses becoming more online content creators and influencers, she saw a void in the influencer marketing space she quickly filled. Jesse started Women in Influencer Marketing, a professional networking community focused on the women in the industry, mainly those who hire and support influencers in what they do. So talent managers, agency representatives, brand side marketers. The group has been growing now for 5 years and has become a key source of not just networking, but education and resources for women in the industry. Curious about the group, I invited Jesse to come on the show and tell us about it. I did put on my ask even the uncomfortable questions hat and played the dumb guy role, asking why an industry full of women needs a group that is gender specific, but I think you'll appreciate that I asked because of her answer, and I recognize the question itself is borderline ignorant. Listen close to that part. I think I contextualize it fairly well. I also asked an important question as a follow-up. What issues that face women in the industry can better be addressed if men become part of the solution? So the conversation turned in a more solution-oriented direction, I think. We had a great discussion and got into not only the details of gender issues within influencer marketing and the benefits WIM brings to the table for its members, but also what Jesse sees as the important issues facing influencer marketing today. That discussion actually inspired Monday's commentary post to a degree. A good, healthy discussion conversation for you today, and it's sponsored by Julius. If you've read my book, you know I've depended on Julius for influencer discovery and campaign management for some time now. When I'm looking for the right influencer for my clients, Julius allows me to search across Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitch, Twitter, Pinterest, blogs, and more. When I click into an influencer's profile, I can see their audience demographics, what other networks they have reached through, and quickly scan their recent posts to decide if they're a right influencer for my brand. All the pieces of campaign management are there too. Julius allows you to reach out, document contracts, share and approve influencer content, and of course, measure the ROI, not just of a campaign, not just of a single influencer, but each individual post. You owe it to your brand or agency to do a demo of Julius today. Go to jason.online/Julius and request one. That's jason.online/Julius. You'll be glad you did. Women in Influencer Marketing, the group, the topic, and the woman behind it. Jesse Grossman is next on Winfluence.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/MPN to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/MPN. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
If you enjoy Winfluence and want to learn more about the world of social media marketing, I've got a great podcast recommendation for you. People of Marketing, hosted by Plannable co-founder and CEO Xenia Muntian, is a 30-minute show exploring the career journeys and struggles of top social media professionals. People of Marketing is not about the tactics, but the people behind them, those taking social media marketing to the next level. To subscribe, go to plannable.io/POM. That is plannable.io/POM. So, Jesse, you come from the talent management world. Is that right? Tell us about your background.
I do. I come from the talent management world. I come from the agenting world first, even before that, actually, because I used to represent actors. And there's like that, people are like, am I a manager? Am I an agent? So in that world, they're actually distinguished. So I used to represent actors in commercials, transitioned into starting an influencer division at the talent agency that I used to work with. Left there to start a management company, took my clients over there, and then that agency sold. And now I'm working, doing all things WIM, Women in Influencer Marketing, today. So yeah, it's a little bit about me.
Very good. So you are the engine behind Women in Influencer Marketing, which is a lot of things. Before we go into all the different arms of what that community and that organization does and is, tell me a little bit more about how it got started.
So it got started with the most humble beginnings. I was getting started working with influencers and I had way more questions than answers. And so for me, I've always really enjoyed networking. I was out at a breakfast with someone that I had done business with and I pitched her the idea because, you know, you might think you have a great idea, but you sort of should run it by a friend first, see what they think, get their 2 cents. So I ran it by her. I was like, I've got this idea. So like, it could be like a group where we like exchange ideas and information and just network with each other, generally speaking. And I even have a name, Women in Influencer Marketing, and it shortens to WIM. How cool is that? And she said it was a, you know, she's like, yeah, let's do it. Let's just organize a meetup. So we're both in New York City. And both of our assistants at the time majorly helped. And we got her office to agree to put on an event. And we literally expected it to be the four of us and like maybe someone off the street who saw balloons and was like, oh, what's going on in there? And we actually got about 70 people to our first event, which still to this day honestly shocks me. I try to get that many people to events that I do now. And sometimes I struggle, but that one really resonated with people. And those were our humble beginnings.
Well, it was a good idea. It was an idea whose time had come. So give us a little bit more about what the mission of the group is. What's your reason for being?
So I personally have such a reason for doing this group. It's always been a passion project. I'm so fortunate that it's become my every day, all day, every day. Our mission is to, you know, connect incredible women with each other who have a passion for influencer marketing. In addition to that, there's a huge educational piece as well. The beauty of social media influencer marketing is that it's always evolving. So it's not something that you can like rest on your laurels and it's like, all right, I've reached the pinnacle. I've reached this, you know, this role at this incredible company and I've made it. Everyone's sort of got to continue to educate themselves and re-educate themselves. And we aim to be that resource for people as well. In addition to the fact that we happen to have so many entrepreneurs in our group as well, who are either managing talent or they're social media strategists. I mean, there's a ton of different, you know, capacities where women are entrepreneurs in our group. And so we also try to provide them with resources to run their businesses effectively. So it's pretty broad, but resources, support, and community. Those are the three things that we're really focused on.
So you've got a membership organization there of women in the field. So what's the membership look like? I mean, you touched on it a little bit, but is it more talent managers or influencers themselves or brand side marketers or agency folks? What's the makeup of the group?
So really good question. So the one tried and true is it's for women who support and hire and advocate for influencers. So it's actually not the influencers themselves. It's more on the practitioner side. And then I do polls like this in the group all the time, to be honest. I did one, I think, last week in our private Facebook community. And I was like, so how do you self-describe? And, you know, actually the number one was ad agencies. Number two was talent managers, followed by PR firms, tech in influencer marketing technologists. It's a big, wide group. We've got brands, of course, in there. But, you know, what's interesting, I found, and maybe it's because I attract them because my background's in management and I'll always have a soft spot for managers. But that's been our number one growing group, our talent managers, which I think is really interesting.
It is. All right. So just glancing at the things that are on your website and hearing what you've told me today, let me see if this is accurate. You're a community that has a role in being a casting agency, connects brands with talent or their managers. You're a job board sometimes for those looking for work in the influencer marketing industry. You're a learning and network community, and you're a subscription-based membership model. What did I leave out?
You did your research. No, you did a great job. I mean, honestly, we only officially launched the collective, which is like the more premium side of WIM, at the end of 2020. WIM had been in existence at this point for over 5 years. But again, it was like a passion project. It was something that I always did on the side. And so all these resources and like features and things that you just mentioned, it's based on 5 years of requests from people. And they're like, well, I am hiring and casting for influencers, and don't you have managers in the group? Like, could you connect us together? That's how WIMcast was born. Or, you know, you've got that, like, can I tap into your network? I'm looking to hire a bunch of people in the influencer marketing space. I don't want to put my ad out on, you know, fill in the name of the job listing board here. I'd rather tap in for and recruit from your network. Can I do that? So, you know, that's our job board. So it's really just in response to requests that we've gotten. And we're tweaking it all the time. We have to, because I just want to make sure that our community feels like they're being best served.
Sure. So I think networking and events are kind of the wheelhouse, the core foundational element of content there, I think. Tell us about the kind of events you host and how often do you host them?
Okay, so we used to host them like 3 to 4 times a year because we would do in-person events. And historically, we've done events in LA, we've done Chicago, a bunch in New York because that's where I'm based, and it's way easier to do it when you're based in that city. I've learned how to do really cool things with virtual events these days. I love tech, so I've dove into and learned all of this cool live streaming software. And in addition to that, we're obsessed with Clubhouse, so we've been doing a lot of networking events on there. It's like so conducive to real good networking on there. So nowadays, we divide them into master classes. We're hosting one that's upcoming in about a month from now that is called From Agency Life to Self-Employed. And she's hosting a whole master class on what that's been like for her transitioning from working for large agencies over a long period of time. And now she works for herself, and just what that's entailed, and why she did it, reasons for and against it. So she's hosting a masterclass doing that. And a lot of our, we have a mentorship program as well. So all of our mentors are required to teach a masterclass as being a mentor with us. And then in addition, we host like a monthly, you know, quick down and dirty networking event as well, where it's just an opportunity to say like, hi, my name is Jessie. I work for this company. I do that role. And then we always say, what's a give? How can you give to the community? I'm happy to give you, you know, anyone interested in an hour of my time, if they want to pick my brain about like paid advertising or whatever you're an expert at. And then we always prompt them and say, all right, and then say what you're looking for, like really maximize your time. So it's not superficial. I'm looking for someone to teach me what the heck I do about Instagram Reels or what the heck I do about TikTok. I don't know anything about TikTok, like fill in the blank. And just the most incredible connections have been made. We're also on like probably too many different platforms, if I'm being honest with you. Like my philosophy is like meet them where they are. I think that's really important. So, you know, we've got a Slack community for our members. We have a private Facebook group, and not ever, like people are, they lean towards whatever platform they're comfortable with. And so we just want to, again, meet them where they are and give them the opportunity to network.
So, I mean, it obviously sounds like a wonderful organization for a lot of reasons. I want to ask the awkward question, and forgive me if this sounds ignorant or uninformed, but I think someone might ask this. And so I'm going to play the dumb asshole in the room and ask the question just because I'm really interested in your answer. So why the need for a gender specific group in an industry that I think is decidedly dominated by women? And again, forgive me, I fully know and understand the question is almost even disrespectful, though I don't certainly don't intend it to be. But I'd love for your response to help educate everyone, including me, as to the purpose and reasoning behind that.
So I knew you were going to ask that. I definitely knew that was the question that was coming.
Being interviewed by a dude, he's going to ask that question.
I appreciate it. And no, it makes perfect sense of why you'd ask. So you're right, though, in your observation that we happen to be in an industry that is predominantly women. So it hasn't really caused us very many issues, right? However, I was, you know, when I started this, it's always been WIM. It's never been under a different name. So it has always been a female-focused organization. It's just something that I've been so passionate about. It's just women in business and networking with women and just keeping it as a safe, beautiful space for women. It feels different. And I like that. And as somebody who has the opportunity to create something that I'm passionate about, I wanted to go for it. That being said, I will say this. This is I feel like people have like, okay, so I've actually gotten feedback from like a couple unnamed people where they will literally send me screenshots and be like, a man infiltrated the group. A man infiltrated Jessie. Do you know this? And I'm like, okay, so like, they're secret. There are actually a couple guys who are in the group because in 2021, I'm also not going to be that person who is like the, you know, how you self-identify police. And so, yes, there are actually a couple people in the group who from the outside appear as if they are men, and I'm not going to be the one to ask them to leave. So yes, they, and it's interesting. I will say this to give them so much credit. Obviously I won't reveal exactly what they said, but when joining, they were very kind in saying how much they respect women and all those who came before them. And they were actually, you know, extra interested in joining the group and just had really actually lovely things to say. So it wasn't like they just joined and didn't acknowledge the elephant in the room.
They're not creepers.
Exactly. They made a point to call that out. And I actually thought it was very kind of them to do that.
Well, that's good. Well, so, okay, give me an opportunity to save face a little bit here. So, little known trivia about me. My ex-wife was a rape crisis and sexual assault counselor, and there was a poster in her office once upon a time that said something along the lines of this: rape will end when men become part of the solution. Now, that stuck with me, and I've applied it more broadly to really any issue where there's a violated or oppressed group, a have-not, if you will, and a privileged group, or a have, continuing the analogy. So let me ask this question in the spirit of that direction. What do you see as the biggest hurdles and challenges for women in this industry or in business in general, particularly those that men can change by being a part of the solution?
What a great question. Thank you for asking that. I think that part of it is just, I'll say maybe the not so popular answer, but it's kind of what I've observed. I think a lot of us women have experienced, like, systemically not getting the same roles or the same opportunities as other people that they see men getting. And because of that history, it makes logical sense. But I actually see nowadays, even though there's more awareness, and even though we're in an industry that's very female dominated, we're still getting in our own way. And I understand it cerebrally because it's what we've experienced. And it's, I don't know if other people see it that way or how they see it, but that is something that I've observed. And so if I can do anything to help that, and to educate women more, it's not really an educational thing. It's empowering them to say, you know, this is your spot to take. Like, this is your role to have, and this is a space for you to fill. And women aren't so comfortable doing that. So it's practice, right? Like, practice makes perfect, even in instances like that. So that's why something that's really important in our group is, you can be somebody who's very junior and get highlighted in our group. You can be somebody who works peripherally with influencers, but we highlight women in our group. And it's not just the senior folks that everybody highlights. It's really a group that we're all very much equals. And the theory being that, like, if we're all there to support each other, it's actually lifting up the industry as a whole. And when you think about sort of like the legacy that you want to leave, and, you know, the industry that you want to pave the way for the women coming after us, the men coming after us, anybody, you know, it's really important to put thought into what you want that to look like.
So if I'm trying to kind of pull out something that I can share with the men out there, in response to that, and see how this sits with you. I think the call to action for us to be a part of a solution for that issue is to just be mindful and aware that when there is an opportunity for, maybe it's internal advancement, maybe it's hiring for any of the various roles within the influencer marketing industry, that that maybe by nature, historically, maybe it's a generalization or a stereotype, but I think what I hear you're saying is that where men have a tendency to be a little bit more aggressive and assertive in going after positions, maybe some women don't. And if we men who are in those positions where we can hire or we can, advance someone in their career or even mentor, perhaps we should keep in mind that if a woman in the office, if you will, isn't raising her hand, it's not necessarily because she doesn't want to. It's just because she maybe has been conditioned to not, and we need to be aware of that so that we can maybe reach out and encourage them to do so. Does that sound right?
That's definitely one version of it. Like, there's different, everybody participates in different ways. And I don't know, I'm one who's like a little, very intrigued by, like, human nature and how we are the way we are and why we are the way we are. But I heard a very similar conversation sort of described very much like you were just describing it, where, you know, you'll have a table of people and someone's going to be the first to raise their hand and someone might just send an email after or somebody might a week later, you know, call a second meeting. Everybody sort of processes information and contributes in different ways. And who are we to decide that the person that raises their hand at the first meeting is the one who should be listened to the most? You know, there's so many different types of people, and it would actually behoove everybody to learn the power in the others.
So changing directions here a little bit for you. We've talked a lot about things on this show, like pay scales, fairness, and unionization, both from a gender perspective, but also the racial perspective, of course. But there's also pricing structures, influencer fraud is still top of mind for folks. When you look at the industry as a whole, what do you see as the emerging issues that we've got to start figuring out now so that we're still doing this 5-10 years from now?
So I think that a lot of it is just, I think a lot of it is like miscommunication. I think that a lot of it is just expectation setting and aligning on what goals are and learning how to communicate with each other. I see a lot of people like talking at each other and missing each other. So when they are like, and what I mean by that, let's be specific, right? So when, you know, a brand hires an agency and the agency goes and hires influencers, they will sometimes give them a 50-page brief, which confuses the heck out of anybody. And then sometimes they give them no brief. And then the influencer does the best they can with what they have. They go create content. It gets approved. And then the brand, who was the first person in that chain, doesn't get what they wanted. There's a lot of cooks in the kitchen, and I understand why there's like breaks in that communication, but like that's something that has to get fixed. There's no streamlining of that at all. Some people go, like I mentioned, above and beyond and think that by providing like a 50-page document that's helping, that is not helping. I can tell you that firsthand. And then, you know, some people like, yeah, it's completely up to the influencer. And influencers love that. Like if they hear that, they're like as happy as a pig in shit. But what I will tell you is that there has to be what I always suggest influencers to do in any partnership, whether they get a brief or not, always propose your idea to the other side. Spend that extra time in the beginning to articulate, whether it's written word, whether it's a mood board visually, but identify and describe what you're envisioning and get that approved. Don't even just propose it, but wait for an approval on that. Because also, you know, when you have an influencer who is then disappointed the other side after they share their content and then has to reshoot it once, twice, God forbid, three times, you're cutting your fee in half you're cutting it every single time you have to reshoot something. So just taking that extra time in the beginning will save you so much in the end.
You know, I wrote a few weeks ago an article called something along the lines of the new influencer brief. And the thought behind it was very similar to what you're saying, because I was in the middle of a project of engaging some influencers on behalf of a client. And I basically am like your recommendation. I was very clear. Here's the goal of what we're trying to do. We are trying to communicate this message to your audience consistently over a 6-month period. The goal wasn't about purchasing product. The goal wasn't about driving traffic. The goal wasn't about increasing followers. It's we want your audience to believe this thing at the end of a 6-month period. And my only instructions to them was come back to me with a proposal of what you will do to make that happen. I don't care about the budget. I don't care about how many pieces of content. And they kept asking me, well, what are the deliverables? I'm like, you tell me what the deliverables are. The challenge, the deliverable is make your audience believe this. That's the deliverable I want. I don't care how you get there. And I'm not worried about the budget or how many pieces of content. That's for you to decide because you have the audience. You know what's going to make them believe. You know them better than I do. And I see where you would surface that as a problem because all three of the particular people I gave, or four people that I gave that instruction to, came back to me with, well, I can't quote you anything until I have a list of deliverables. And I was just like, you just don't get it. You just don't get it.
I see where you're coming from, and I like it. I like it because it's a smart way to approach an influencer because their engagement on one platform can shift from one day to the next, and they have the best pulse. And who am I to say, like, I just want TikTokers today? Who cares? Like, I just want your audience, and I want the audience that's going to buy this product with, like, you know, in the next couple weeks, because that's how far in advance we're planning this. But I also totally get from an influencer's perspective, like, the issue in that is, like, influencers, their managers, like, they're all doing this at scale. I mean, I was just talking to a couple of managers in WIM yesterday, and they were like, they have a management firm, and they're like, all of the managers, their emails are like overflowing. It's like too much. Like, how do we do this better? It's too much to handle. So I understand that, like, sometimes when you're just that doing that much volume, you're like, no, like, I just need it regimented, structured, so I can give it to you. I hope that someday we can get to a place where we can use the scenario that you're describing, though, because I think it's the most effective thing to do.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. And I've continued to noodle on that subject. And I've got, you know, another article in me that kind of furthers the discussion. I just haven't, you know, it has to percolate in my brain for a couple of weeks before it'll come out and actually make sense. So stay tuned. It's coming at some point.
I'm staying tuned.
Awesome. So Jesse, tell me more about how people can join Women in Influencer Marketing and where they can connect with you and the organization online.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I mean, if anyone is interested in learning about more about what we do, the services we provide, resources, all that, the best place is probably iamwim.com, and that's II.com. We also have a podcast. So from one podcaster to another, I love that you've got your show. We have ours. We're approaching episode 100, which is awesome. So exciting. So we're anywhere you can find podcasts. It's called WIM Radio. But like I mentioned earlier, we're pretty much everywhere. It's like a little obnoxious. Like, you can't get rid of us. So, where are you? We'll just meet you there.
That's awesome. Well, we'll make sure there's links to all the pertinence in the show notes. And Jesse, thank you so much, A, for doing this and, you know, being a sounding board and a connection point for women in the industry. I hope you guys continue to grow and be incredibly successful. And I appreciate you sharing your story with us.
Thank you so much. It's been really nice talking with you.
WINFLUENCE, the Influence Marketing Podcast, is presented by my book, WINFLUENCE, Reframing Influencer Marketing to Ignite Your Brand. Get your copy online at winfluencebook.com. While you're there, sign up for the latest ideas about influence marketing delivered in my monthly newsletter, or book me to speak to your company or organization about influence marketing. If you or someone you know is an influencer, a brand manager that uses influence marketing, or one of the many amazing people working in the influence marketing services world, and they would make a good guest for the show, email me at jason@jasonfalls.com. Our theme music is One More Look by the K-Club and Grammy Award-winning producer Jaquire King. Thanks for listening, and remember, when it's not about the person, but about results, it's WINFLUENCE.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Heiler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcasts.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.